Hello and welcome back to Two Blondes, One Pod. I'm Chelsea.
And I'm Haley.
Happy Thursday. Thank you so much for joining us on our new scheduled release day. We decided for scheduling purposes, we needed to change the day we release our episodes. So hope that's okay with everyone.
Yes.
Please join in and listen. Just a disclaimer, we've been having technical difficulties for about an hour now.
Yeah.
So we're up and running. Hopefully, fingers crossed, knock on wood.
It's just so annoying.
No sudden movements.
Yeah, we've had no technical difficulties since literally when we first started the podcast. So Chelsea and I are just like, yeah, what the heck? Why? Why tonight when we're finally recording after a long, you know, break from recording the podcast? Like, why tonight? But
exactly. Yeah. Just please excuse my... Yeah. Just it's crazy up in here. Just,
yeah. We're a little frazzled.
Yeah.
A little frazzled.
Yeah, we really are. We have a lot to discuss in this episode. We took a very abrupt hiatus from the podcast. Things ended suddenly, and we're here to talk about it.
Yeah, don't worry. No friendship breakup happened. We're still the best of friends. We just had some life stuff come up and we're back. We're ready to talk about it. And yeah, hopefully you guys are ready for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of an, I don't know. What's the word?
I don't know about like emotional, but I just feel like this last year has been a lot for both of us.
Yeah, it'll be a little bit of a vulnerable episode.
Vulnerable. That's a good word. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, let's talk about it.
I was going to say too, we honestly have done zero prep for this episode. We are literally just coming to you like ready to talk about our last year, but with no real like, we aren't scripted anyway, but just no like notes or anything, just kind of ready to open up. So hopefully it won't be all over the place. But we're just going to be here vulnerable with you chatting about it.
Yeah. We knew, like we said, four times now, we knew this would be a vulnerable episode. We kind of didn't know how to go about it. We just want to chat, be open, and here we go. I don't know even where to start.
I mean, I feel like we have to start with where it all ended.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I kind of like first off want to open up the floor to Chelsea, because when we stopped in October, you know, we had a lot of like fun October episodes planned. Like we had no idea that we were going to stop so abruptly, but Chelsea had something very personal and honestly traumatic happened to her and her family. And I feel like I just knew that the podcast had to go by the wayside. We have always said like above the podcast, we have to put our mental health, physical health, our family and our personal life first. And that's what we just came to the decision to do that. Chelsea, do you want to kind of tell them what happened? And
So I really debated talking about this at all, because I mean, to be honest, it's just really like no one's business but my own. But I do feel like it's important to share, not even just for like other people, but like for me. Mm-hmm. But basically back in August, I found out that I was pregnant. I found out I was pregnant 3 days after David had left, on a military training. And we were not trying for this pregnancy. And I was a little upset about it, just being totally honest. And there were kind of a lot of hard and weird feelings with this pregnancy, because David was going to deploy for 4 months starting in October. And So, you know, just hard feelings with an unplanned pregnancy and not knowing what your future really looks like and taking care of two young kids on top of it and, you know, just a lot of stress.
High risk pregnancies too. So
yeah, yeah. I always have hypertension with my pregnancies, preeclampsia. I just knew it was going to be, you know, really hard, but yeah, I just, you know, what else do you do? You just kind of take it on.
Yeah. You're like, this is happening. This is still my life.
Yeah. So yeah, I went through August and I was sick, but I was not as sick as I normally was with pregnancies. So I kind of, I don't know, had a little bit of hope that like things would be easier.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into like all the details of all the things, but basically, let's see. We threw Rowan's birthday party on like the 28th of September. And I think it was the day after we got like my blood work done, because I always get the blood work done for like the genetic testing and things. We found out I was having a boy and I was like immediately very excited just because I don't have a boy, you know? Yeah. And anyway, I was really excited to have a boy. And then about a week later, we went into my, it would have been my, I would have been 13 weeks. It would have been like my 13 week appointment. And we found out that I had miscarried my baby. Sorry. I never wanted to cry on the podcast, but I just knew this is where this was going to go.
Yeah.
So we had found out that I had miscarried my baby, which you think no one talks about like postpartum or, you know what I mean? Like things like that. But truly no one talks about miscarriage because of like the weird shame that comes with miscarriage, which like no one should feel, but you just kind of do. But it was just so crazy. It was so crazy to have gone through like my whole first trimester. And then words just cannot explain like how loud the silence is in that room.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was just, it was a super obviously crazy day. It was crazy because David like wasn't even going to come to that ultrasound with me. And then last minute decide he was going to, which I was so grateful for because I just don't know how I would have ever told him that, like over the phone, you know what I mean? So I was so grateful he was there. It was such crazy timing because David, that was on a Monday and David was leaving that next Wednesday to deploy. And so the timing was just super crazy. They got me in for my DNC the next day, which obviously is just like, I can't even like open that door in my brain. Like it's just like too traumatic, but they got me in like that next day. And then that whole next week, I just felt like such a broken human. Like,
yeah,
I have never felt that way in my entire life. And I did not know how I was gonna like go on with David leaving, but I had so many people just show up for me and I can't even explain like how grateful I am to everyone who showed up for me in that week. And after that, honestly, because everyone showed up for me through the whole deployment. Looking back now, I honestly think it was like such a blessing that David left and deployed, which sounds crazy, but like I told everyone after David left, like probably a week after he left, I was like, it is the weirdest thing, but I can feel my brain like disassociating.
Yeah.
It was just so crazy. Like I would try to like, I would like literally try to think back to everything that had happened like only 2 weeks earlier. And like, it was like my brain would not let me go there. And when your spouse deploys, you kind of just go into survival mode. And I felt like my body was just like, nope, get up. Like you have two kids to take care of. You know what I mean? Like you just have to get up and move on. And so that's what I did. And Yeah, if David would have stayed home, I don't know how long I would have just like laid in bed for. Right. You know what I mean? And like let him handle everything, which also was not fair because it was such a hard time for him too. But
yeah.
Anyway, after that happened, like it was that day I audio messaged Haley and I don't even remember exactly what I said, but I literally like my first thought was like the podcast. I was like, Haley, like, I don't know, like, how to do the podcast. Like, yeah. You know,
well, it's like, how do you show up the next week and talk about shit that honestly doesn't matter at the end of the day?
Like, I know.
We love the podcast. It's so much fun. But like in life, when stuff like this happens, like truly nothing else matters. And like, how do you just show up and try to act normal and like literally talk about stuff that at the end of the day, like does not matter. And it's just for fun. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I like, obviously, aside from the first thoughts I had when you told me that you miscarried, I mean, I was so devastated for you and for your family. And, you know, after like those initial thoughts and I like thought about the podcast, I just like knew. I was like, this has to go by the wayside for now. It just made the most sense. But you talked a little bit about, I just want to like circle back to something if you're okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about how no one really talks about like the shame,
mm-hmm,
associated with miscarrying. What do you mean by that?
It's almost just like, it's not your fault. It's not anyone's fault, but you feel so shameful about it. I can't even explain it. It's almost like embarrassing. I don't know how to explain that. Also, like the mistrust you go through with your body after something like that happens is like horrible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know. There was a lot of weird feelings wrapped up into it. And also, like I said, like this was a pregnancy that I was not excited for.
Yeah.
And so the guilt after as well for not like, you know, just like cherishing that pregnancy. It's just awful. It's crazy because 1 in 4 women go through a miscarriage, they say. That's such a high percentage. And so obviously I know I'm not the first person to miscarry a baby, but I don't know. For anyone who's gone through a miscarriage, I just, you know, like I am with you. I mourn with you. Like I feel you. Like it is so devastating. And like I still haven't like unpacked everything. It's only been a few months, but and like I said, I've kind of buried it away. So I should probably go to therapy. But anyway, it's just been like a crazy few months. But yeah, it was for the best that we stopped the podcast at that time because I don't know why, but like I was just like, do I talk about it? Do I not talk about it? And Haley was just like, you know what? Like the podcast is going to come to a halt for a few months.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, like that's probably for the best. And I'm so glad because not even like just for that, but like just like our life circumstances, like as a whole together, I think it just needed to happen.
Yeah.
At that time it was for the best. And so anyway,
I think so too.
That's why the podcast kind of came to an abrupt halt. Yeah. And you know, we had talked about, do we do like a mini episode just explaining that we're going to take a break? And ultimately we just decided like, no, we're just going to post about it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. So
yeah,
anyway, that's kind of where we left off. But I mean, we're doing good now. David did deploy for 4 months and he just got back not even 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So we are, yeah, I mean, we're doing good as a family and kind of just, you know, trying to move forward and come to acceptance. And I don't think we'll ever truly understand. I don't know that you ever really can, but
yeah,
I don't know if anyone has any, I don't know, tips is a stupid word, but you know what I mean?
Advice.
Yeah. Any advice on how to handle the situation? Like I said, I know I'm not the first, so, but it was devastating.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, it's so heavy. Yeah. I just hated watching you go through that. I'm grateful you've been willing to share. And I'm grateful that you, like, I don't know. I feel like it's an honor when someone is going through something like that for them to allow you to like be a part of it and allow you to support them. I wish so badly I would have been like in an even better place myself to support you. But yeah, I feel like it's an honor when someone's going through something really difficult to be like let into their circle. So I'm so grateful that, I don't know, I feel like we, every week we still got together. We had dinner with our families. We kind of made, you know, the most of the last couple months in our friendship. But mm-hmm. I don't know. I just feel, I'm just grateful you've been willing to share, because I feel like, obviously, like you said, statistically wise, there's probably a decent amount of people that can relate because they've had miscarriages. Or also, I just feel like you said too, I feel like it's one of those topics that it's hard for someone trying to lend support to know like what is the best thing to say, what is the best thing to do. And I don't know that there's like a right answer there.
There's not. And I mean, I had so many people show up in just different ways, but
yeah,
I am grateful for anyone who showed up in literally any way, because everyone is just doing their best on how to navigate like a hard situation like that.
Yeah.
And ultimately I did feel like I wanted to share on the podcast, just moving forward, you know, this is not like, I don't want to look at this as like my dirty little secret. You know what I mean? Right. Like this was my baby. Like if it ever comes up, you know, in conversation later, I want to be able to just be open and honest about it.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's all. But yeah, 2024 was a little bit of a doozy of a year, but we're hoping for 2025 to be better.
Truly.
For both of us.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was one of those years that you're like, goodbye, closing the door on that one. Never want to see it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like 2024 was like my year of just like wishing time away, which they say like,
yeah,
don't do that. Like, especially when your kids are little, you know, there's a lot of mom guilt around wishing time away. But honestly, that's just like life. Like sometimes you're going to go through periods of time where you can't like toxic positivity your way out of it. Like it's just a shit scenario. It's just a shit situation. And it's not about like, oh, are you going to get through it? Like obviously we get through things, but I feel like it's more about like, I don't know, for me, I personally learned so much about myself the last year, my marriage, my friendships. Like there's so much I can take away from what my year was like, but at the end of the day it just was kind of a shitty situation, and now I'm just here to tell the tale.
Right Yeah, we've been hiding a secret from you.
I feel like it's weird,
entirety of the podcast.
Yeah, literally the entirety. It's kind of crazy, but yeah, I mean it's weird because I've obviously, there's a lot of listeners who like know me personally, so they already know this. It's not like some big secret, but I've like said multiple times on the podcast, like, oh, Vince will be gone for this holiday or this birthday, or like Vince was gone again. And that's because he was gone all year. Yeah, Vince, it was the summer of 2023 that we found out that Vince could pretend, actually it was more like the spring of 2023, we found out Vince was potentially going to deploy the following year. By the summer of 2023, we knew he was for sure deploying. That is why we moved back to Utah County from St. George, because I wanted to be by family and friends. And then Vince deployed. He was out of military training all of January 2024. And then half of February 2024. And then he deployed to Africa March 5th of 2024. So, yeah, I knew it was going to be around 10 or 11 months that he was going to be gone. And he did it. He deployed And we survived. He got home.
And you did it.
I did do it. I don't know how, but I did it. He got home January 18th, 2025. So he just barely got home too. Just what was it, like 2 weeks before David got home, or a week?
Seriously, right. Yeah. Like 2 weeks or a week and a half even. Yeah. I think 12 days or something.
Yeah. And David and Vince actually like saw each other on their deployment. They deployed the same place.
Yep, to the same place. And they got to be together for a few weeks because they were in like different areas.
Yeah.
But Vince would go back to where David was.
Yeah. And it was weird because I was like happy for them. But also I was sitting over here like, you mother effers, like over there, just having a grand old reunion. but I don't know. I feel like, I mean, obviously, like, as you can imagine, doing 11 months, 10 months, whatever it was, without your spouse, your partner, the father of your kids, like anyone can imagine that would be hard with two little kids. And it was really hard. And there's like so many just different, I don't even know exactly like what I want to say about it because it just was such a long time that I like, how do you wrap up a whole year into, you know, a few minutes of conversation? But I also want to say thank you to everyone who showed up for me during this time because I genuinely could not have done it without my friends. I will say the first month, I was not myself. I was super numb. I had no appetite. I think just like knowing you're about to like go through something really difficult, and when it's that long of a time, it's like, there is no light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm thinking about, like, this is why you shouldn't look forward too much. Because I was just thinking about every holiday, every event, everything that Vince was going to miss and how it was going to affect me, how it was going to affect the kids. Vivi, for the first probably 2 months, I could not leave the room for longer than a minute without her being like, Mommy, where are you? And freaking out. And it was so sad because you just can't explain to them, like, you can say, oh yeah, daddy's gonna be gone for a long time, but when they're four and two,
there's no concept of time.
No. And so I think the longer it went on, she was like, oh, this is like really going to be a long time. I feel like by month like three or four, I had gotten into a pretty good routine. It was summertime, there was so much to do outside with my kids. We just like really made the most of it. We had a family vacation planned in Mexico to look forward to. Like, there were just like so many things to look forward to. I started training for my half marathon. I feel like I got in like a really good groove, and Vince and I were in such a good place. Like, I feel like we were communicating really well. The kids were doing pretty well. Like, everything just was going pretty well. And then like October time hit, and I just feel like everything went to absolute shit. I finished my half marathon, and it was like after that point that my mental health took a ginormous hit. I don't even know exactly how to explain or like why it happened, but I just felt very like hopeless. Like, I just feel like it all kind of hit me all at once. It was like I was going through the motions, and so I wasn't like processing what my life had been. And then all of a sudden it just kind of like came to like a train wreck. And I just was tired. I was really tired of being alone. I was really tired of people feeling bad for me. I was really tired of being a bad mom because no one can parent for that long without making really big mistakes and feeling like you're ruining your relationship with your kids because you're so fucking burnt out. And I genuinely felt like I was ruining my relationships with my kids because I couldn't handle it anymore. I just couldn't handle the being woken up at night, and that like sleeping was my only time alone, aside from when I would like plan out girls' nights. So it was like when Kale started waking up at nights and I wasn't sleeping through the night, I think that was like a really big reason why my mental health also took a hit. But yeah, like I just wasn't getting time to, I guess, recoup before the next day. Mm-hmm. And so it just was like never ending torture. So it was really hard. The last couple months of the deployment were so hard. And when you're struggling mentally and your spouse is struggling in their own ways, sometimes it can be so hard to like come together and like combat everything together. Sometimes you have to work on your things individually. And I mean, I definitely tested the limits of my strength. I think Vince did too. And there were some things we needed to work through separately. And I think we did that. And now that he's come home, I feel like it's easier for us to now kind of navigate those things together. And I think that's been really good for us since he's come home. But it was challenging those last couple months. I had to get back on my anxiety medication that I had been off of for a couple years. And that felt super defeating, but I felt so good back on it. So I'm really grateful for that. And I honestly wish I would have gotten back on it sooner. But yeah, I mean, all in all, it is one of those years I'm going to look back on and be like, okay, I did it. I never want to do that again. I probably will have to do it again. Tis my life as a military wife. But I'm really so super proud of my kids. Oh, I'm so proud of them. And it's hard to explain like, exactly why, but I just feel like they were so resilient and they were so forgiving of me, and especially Vivi. And I'm so proud of them, and I'm proud of Vince and I, and I'm proud of myself. I am proud of myself. I think I have a lot of regret with certain things, but I'm trying to give myself a lot of grace of like, I was alone, you know, I don't know how else to put it, but, yeah. So that was our last year. Deployments, really hard challenges.
I will say everything you said. Okay. So I did a deployment too, but Haley did the deployment I did. Double plus 2 months. Okay. So you did a lot longer, but I felt all the same things that you felt. And so like, yes, it's exhausting. Yes, you feel like a horrible mom and like you're ruining your relationship with your kids. Like it is really, really taxing, and it is really taxing on your relationship with your kids and on your marriage.
Yeah.
But I am just like, I do feel like you made the most of last year.
Thank
like
you.
Truly, and I am like so proud and like so in awe of you. No, and I'm proud of your kids. It. But I do feel like you guys like really did make the most of last year. And I probably only saw Haley in a bad place 2 or 3 times last year. Yeah. If that tells you anything about her strength. So Haley is very strong. You. Yeah. I have always thought that Haley is like made for the military life. Like,
oh my gosh.
No. From the second I met you, I was like, oh, this girl. I was like, this girl.
You saw me coming.
Yeah. I'm like, this girl can handle way more than me. And I still believe that. And I will always believe that.
No, we just have different.
Yes. But
different strengths.
I will say, because yes, Haley and I, so after everything happened, I mean, we still made the effort. We did dinner weekly with each other and our kids. Like, we made the effort to like, you know, see each other weekly, and it was crazy. Like, we did the holidays alone for the first time ever this year, and we did that together. I mean, not together, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like we both did that. I mean, I've done plenty of Thanksgivings without David, even Halloweens, but never Christmas.
Yeah,
I don't think ever New Year's, and it was hard.
Yeah,
like that was not easy. But I remember like even like having to take down my Christmas decor by myself, and just like little things, just being like, oh my gosh, like, you know, such first world problems, but like, this is hard.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was
just moments of just loneliness.
And, yeah. No, I can totally see how like October coming and your mental health just declining.
Yeah.
It was hard. It was, you know, when you go through like that long of a separation with your spouse, like you said, the first month is hard.
Yeah.
And then you kind of get in like a groove of things, and you're kind of not like even really looking into the future because it's like such a long ways away. You're not, exactly. Like there's no countdown, if that makes sense. But then like
I don't know, like, especially with like that long of a deployment, I feel like maybe like the 3 month mark hits and you're kind of like, oh, okay. Like we're, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
And then things get longer because you start to count down. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense, yes. But that's just kind of how it is. The last month is always hell. Yes. It's always awful.
Yeah, it's horrible. And to be like super transparent, because I think it's important for people to like understand like when you know that you're about to also reintegrate with your partner after that long, it's not just excitement. There are so many worries.
So much anxiety.
So much anxiety about how it's going to go. I think Vince was worried about kind of what he was coming home to, because I changed mm-hmm. a decent amount in the last year. And I was worried about, you know, obviously certain things too. And I think people were always just like, are you so excited? And of course, mm-hmm. like my knee jerk reaction was always like, yes, of course. But there was so many layers underneath of fear, anxiety, unsure. I mean, I heard about multiple divorces that were mm-hmm. happening in the unit, you know, and you get so worried about like what that reintegration. So, and I am a spiraler, and I am also a self-sabotager. So when I start worrying about things, I make it so much worse in my head than it's going to be in reality. I'm working on that. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, like you said, it's like when I could see the light at the end of the tunnel, it almost created some other issues mm-hmm. than that I was working through, because I'm like, this is so exciting. But also now, like, there's going to be a lot of work into the coming home portion. And that feels super lonely too, because like I said, everyone's asking you if you're excited, which obviously you are, but you feel like you can't really express your true feelings. Obviously with Chelsea, I did, because Chelsea gets it. And, you know, with a couple other people I really trust, but yeah, there's just, yeah, some complicated feelings there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. It's very complicated. But
so
I really think you handled the last 11 months with as much grace as you possibly could. It's
thank you.
Hard for anyone. But it's like you said, like, not everyone can deal with it. Like, there are so many divorces that come out of the military and mm-hmm. deployments, and it's hard.
And you get why.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Oh, yes. You get
after
why.
After going through it, you're like, oh, I get it. Uh-huh. Like, I don't even judge those people, because no. I genuinely can understand, like, different things that happen. It's like you have to fight for your relationship mm-hmm. in something like that. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
I am very... just proud of you.
Thank you.
I just love you, and I love your family. That was like such a happy day for me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I will say the reunion was so, it was just bliss. We did get stuck in a really bad blizzard.
Oh, that was the worst.
Yes. That, of course, like it hadn't really snowed in January.
And then
like the day we're going to pick up Vince, it is blizzarding. We get stuck on the I-15 for 2.5 hours. Luckily my sister was with me, because she was there to take pictures, and she was there to like keep me sane. So we actually missed Vince's plane landing, because how they do it, at least how they did it for us, was they take you to this airport hangar or whatever it's called on an Air Force base. So it's more private than just going to like Salt Lake City Airport or whatever. So you can see their plane land, and it's like a really, really, you know, fun moment and all mm-hmm. that. We missed all of that. But
you probably were not the only person. Like, no, there were probably so many
people
because of the weather.
There were so many people that missed it.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
It was funny because, like, I don't know, just once I saw Vince, like, none of that mattered.
Yeah,
it did
exactly.
not matter that I'd been sitting for 2 hours. Like, it did not matter. I did not care. Mm-hmm. It was so, it was just, I can't even explain how blissful mm-hmm. that moment was of, like, physically reconnecting, seeing my kids, see him. It was just so incredible. Kale, I love to like share this, because I think it's just so cute. So when Kale or when Vince left, Kale wasn't even 2, and oh, yeah. the first thing that Kale said to Vince when he saw him was mm-hmm. Daddy, are you gonna come live at my house now?
exactly
so he's like he had no recollection of Vince ever living here.
Tell him whose house it is.
Yeah, and honestly, he has no recollection of Vince being a parent to him. Yeah. So there's been an adjustment there, you know, and it's been interesting. But I just thought that was so cute. Just like, had no idea Vince has lived here for 5 years.
I love him.
Yeah, it was so funny. But oh, yeah, it was so great. Tell us a little bit about your reunion with David and how that went.
Oh, it was good. David went on a single person deployment. So not Vince went on like a big deployment.
Yeah, there were like hundreds of people deployed.
Wasn't that like the biggest deployment Utah has seen
since
in like
the 90s?
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah. Like it was a big deployment.
Desert Storm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. David went on a single person deployment. And so I dropped him off at Salt Lake City Airport and I picked him up from Salt Lake City Airport. And yeah, it was great. I mean, the girls and I picked him up. Rowan is more of my emotional child. She was happy. I think she was just overwhelmed. She was just kind of, you know, like, oh my gosh, like I'm seeing my dad in the flesh. Like, you know,
it's a lot.
And she gets it more like she's older.
Yeah.
Ivy, however, I am regretting my entire life not videoing the moment Ivy saw David because she was literally like blushing, like the biggest
<so cute. laughs>
smile, ear to ear, blushing, so happy to see her dad. And so that was like really sweet. And yeah, it has been like great to have him home. It has been just really, really good. And he's had, you know, a couple weeks off work. And so we've just had a lot of family time and it has been good. Yeah, it's been good. I have noticed like a little anxiety from Rowan. David like went on a run yesterday and she was like sobbing and
she's
she
like,
was
where
like,
is
I
he?
Love him. She's aww. Like, I want him to come home. Like sad. That's
so sad.
I know. And I was like, yeah, like he's coming home, you know? I
yeah.
It is. It's crazy. Like the things that like, I don't know, like we get it, you know, but they don't. And so the things that they have to emotionally go through.
Yeah.
Is sad. So I'm also proud of my kids.
Yes.
Yeah. Mostly Rowan.
I am too. I'm
she
so
gets
proud
more,
of.
But
yeah. Proud of you. Proud of your kids. Proud of David. It was.
Yeah.
It was like a weird thing for us to like bond over. I'm like sad for you
we
that you had to go
bonded.
Through it.
Yeah,
but we definitely trauma bonded. And yeah. You know,
it was just crazy because David was not supposed to deploy. Like we had no idea until like 2 months before. And then he was literally deploying to the same place Vince was going. And me and Haley were literally just like, oh, my hell.
Yeah. Like, really, what is our lives?
Yeah. What is life? But yeah, it was important that we did dinner together.
Yeah.
Once a week.
I mean, it was special. Like even through all the hard times, like there are just some like really special things that I will like always cherish with you in this last year. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's just,
it was good. I told myself at the beginning of last year, I was like, I will do what it takes to make Haley's life as easy as possible. I'm like, I will, you know, be there for the podcast. We make it as fun as possible. Like we make it enjoyable.
You did.
We
you
make
did
it.
It.
Good.
You succeeded in that. I genuinely could not have done it without you. And I know that you like say like, okay, I just like disassociated during David's deployment. And that's like how I got through it. But I've had background conversations with you. I feel like I had more of a front row seat to like what that all looked like. Obviously not in depth because like you're your own person. No one can truly understand, but you are a superwoman. And I look at the last few months and I just hope you give yourself enough credit for all you had to endure. And not that I was like telling all these people, but anyone who obviously knew about the podcast and who I'm close to, obviously knew about your miscarriage. Mm-hmm. And I just can't tell you like how many people were like asking about you, you know, just like wanting to make sure you're okay. And also just like lending support behind the scenes of just like, I don't know how Chelsea's doing it, but I'm so proud of her. And, you know, I hope you're proud of yourself. I hope you give yourself enough credit. Like you didn't, you may have disassociated in certain parts of your brain, but other parts, like you showed up for you. You showed up for your kids. You did what a good mom and a good human does. You did it. And now you're here and I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you.
Yeah. I love you.
I love you too. You never know the love I have for you.
Same.
Yeah.
Indescribable.
Yeah, it has been. It's been a crazy few months, and it was a crazy last year, but we made it out alive.
Yep.
And here we are.
Here we are back at the podcast, and I'm so excited. This feels just like, this right here just feels healing to me.
It feels,
I feel
good.
Like, yeah, it just feels like, okay, we ended that era. It's the start. Mm-hmm. I feel like now my year is like officially started. Begin. You know?
Yeah. You know, it's good. I love the podcast. I love the podcast.
It's our baby.
Yeah. For like probably like the first week, I couldn't really think about the podcast. But after that, I was like, oh, I miss it. Like, yeah. We're not recording. It's sad. It's a good outlet for us.
It is.
But yeah, trying to think of what else happened in the last few months. I don't know. I turned 30.
Oh, yeah. That was a big one. How could we forget that? Your party was so fun. We just went to dinner and... Yeah. Wore our cute little black dresses to mourn the death of Chelsea's 20s.
Yeah, so sad. Yeah. No, I'm actually so excited for my 30s.
I've heard nothing but good things from women about their 30s.
I know. I feel like your 20s is just like you do not know what is going on in your life or what you're going to do.
It's like no sense of stability or security or...
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like school, find a career, have kids, like figure out what the heck life is. Like, I don't know. I'm just like really hoping to thrive, like not to be corny, but to like genuinely thrive more in my 30s, you know? So yeah, I'm excited. I haven't had too many bad feelings about it.
That's good. Yeah. I feel like I'm going to feel the same. You just hear such good things. So.
Yeah, you still have one more year in your 20s, so...
I do. My birthday's in a few weeks. And then I still have one more glory year. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah. Also, have to address the elephant in the room, too, that I'm a brunette.
Yeah. We are two blondes, one pod, but actually Chelsea's one brunette right now.
One blonde, one brunette, one pod.
So we'll be using old photos.
You know, sometimes... Sometimes you have a life crisis and you just decide to just chop and dye your hair.
Chop and dye.
And that's what happened. No, in all seriousness, I have been thinking about not necessarily being brunette, but not being platinum blonde for a long time. Because I've been platinum blonde for 9 years, which is crazy. But it started to get to the point where I wanted to... dye my hair get my roots done like every month and a half. Mm-hmm. And I was also sick of my hair being like purple and blue and like different shades. And yeah, anyway, I am, however, already getting the itch to go back blonde.
It's hard not to.
So, you know, blonde, Haley and I always told each other that if we wanted to change our hair, like whatever, yeah, blonde is a personality trait. Yeah. So
you'll always be blonde in your soul.
I literally am already wanting to go back blonde. I think my friend who does my hair will kill me, but yeah, whatever. It's okay. I don't know.
What do you do?
I don't know. You're a hair gal. Like, is that hard? Is that a hard transition?
No, I think especially from where you're at, it'll be fine.
Okay, great. Yeah. Great. Yeah. So we'll be two blondes, one pod.
Eventually. Shortly. But always in our souls.
Yeah. Always in our souls. but yeah, I don't know. Anything else you want to touch on? Sorry. This is like such a heavy episode. I knew this one would be like a little scattered, a little all over the place, yeah, a little emotional. It is what it is. It's kind of what we had to do to dip our toe back in.
Yeah, I feel like we couldn't just like come out guns a-blazing with like something random. Like, we had to address it, and we're grateful that you guys have created this space for us to be able to address these things. I mean, anytime we get feedback, people talk about they love our really funny episodes and they love our episodes with like more substance. And so we're serving that up on a silver platter today for you.
Yeah, serving it up.
But we are very excited for the roundup of episodes we have for the next couple of months. So please be tuning in every Thursday now. Let us be a part of your Thursday routine. And yeah, just so excited to be back at it.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be good. I'm excited. So, and hopefully we are having a better year this year.
Yes, we're going to manifest it.
Yeah. All right. Well, does that wrap it up for us?
I think that concludes it.
Okay. Well, I don't even remember our outro. I don't know. Follow us on Instagram. We're at twoblondes.onepod. Me, I think. We're on TikTok. Hey, TikTok's back.
TikTok's back. Yeah.
Follow us on TikTok. Maybe we'll have some content up there one
day. Yeah, who knows?
Two Blondes, One Pod. But yeah, we will talk to you guys next Thursday, and we are so excited. Okay, we love you. Bye.
Bye.